This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide from Syngenta, the first premixed dicamba herbicide with residual control for soybeans. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
Impeachment, what does it mean? And why did Cal get crushed? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory, but this isn't Chip. This is Bubba back one more time. And we're gonna have some fun and hang out today. And you got any questions, fire them in. Tweet them to me, send them in, get them in. Call. It's 455. What is it? What's the number again? 455. 800-FAG. Hold on, I gotta find a number. I lost my mind. Hold on a second. I'll get it for you next time. You guys should have. But in the meantime, I'm gonna bring in Mike Pearson from Zahner Ag Hedge, and we're gonna talk. He's gonna go through the news with us and give us some insight. So let's bring in Mike right away. What's up, Mike?
Hey, not much, Bubba. Good afternoon. Glad to be back on with you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, man. What's happening?
Oh, man, I tell you what, it has been a crazy day in the markets. I wanted to kick it off here by looking at the corn market. Of course, we had the crop progress report come out yesterday, and corn is still coming out of the field slowly. 66% of this crop has been harvested, down from the five-year average of 85%. And we continue to hear reports across the northern Corn Belt of growers unable to get LP to run their dryers. And now there are reports that natural gas shutoffs are happening to elevators and growers, so even those folks aren't able to get their corn dry. So that leaves farmers out there hunting around for dry fields, hoping that they can get around some of these hang-ups this harvest season.
Well, why do corn prices keep going down? There's some issues out there. Why do they keep going down?
That's the million-dollar question, Bubba. You know, as we take a look at the markets today, December corn dropped 2.5 cents to close at 3.75 1/4. The March contract also off 2.5, finished the day at 3.84 even. Why in the world do we continue to see this sell-off happening when we know we have all of these frustrations out in the field? Bubba, you're the pro. Your guess is as good as mine.
No, I think there's probably, you know, one of the big problems is I think there's still a little bit, volume's a little bit too light. And the strong hands right now, I think, are on the short side, and they're trying to push. But I don't think they're going to be that successful. But we are a little negative here. But I do think that, sooner rather than later, are going to probably turn pretty good. So, you know, we'll see. Hey, you know, it's always interesting how markets price themselves out. And that's why I always try to, you know, share with everybody is the markets price themselves. The markets are always right. Right? You agree with that?
I do. The market takes all of the available information and prices it accordingly.
So whenever it's whatever the price is, that's what it is right now. Now again, there's no sense to it, but who knows? And it looks like beans tried to make a little pop, and they actually on that late news they kind of just sold off a little bit. What do you see there?
I think you're exactly right. We had some positive news coming out this morning. Reuters was reporting that Chinese crushers had bought 7 more cargoes of American soybeans, despite the fact that they've got about 2 million tons of beans sitting offshore off the coast of China waiting to unload. The Sinograin warehouses are full, and yet China continues to buy. That tells me that they need beans. Now, that bull story was contradicted just minutes before the close with the announcement that perhaps the U.S.-China trade deals have hit a snag, specifically on the idea that the U.S. wants China to make some large commitments to U.S. ag purchases. Bubba, you've been watching this story. It's frustrating that we can't get to the finish line on this Phase 1 deal.
You know, I don't know if we're going to even get to the finish line anytime soon. I'll be honest with you. I think that President Trump thinks he's in control, which I actually believe he is. And if there's going to be some demand, you know, I've maintained all along that the biggest problem is we had too much supply. And as we start to run down supply, and if we have any weather issues, I think then you're going to see the prices explode, and they're going to have to buy them anyways, because there's going to be nowhere to go. Right. I mean, so that's how I see it, but we'll see. I hope it settles out for everybody. But again, I don't know if it will or not.
Well, that's the thing. And the way we ended today, the November contract was down 3.25 at 9.02.5. January contract dropped 1.75 to finish the day at 9.15.25, despite the fact we were seeing an outside reversal on the day that Chinese news spiked it to the downside. Looking over at the wheat market, Bubba, there is just so little news happening in the wheat market today. We still have a strongish U.S. dollar that's keeping exports down. We've got crop progress or planting progress on winter wheat right on par with the five-year average at 92%. Today just seemed like a day of profit-taking after yesterday's rally.
Yeah, I would, we were a little negative yesterday. Anyways, when I was filling in yesterday, and I said, you know, I think there's a little bit of room to work on the downside here. You know, again, it's just there's too much of a malaise in the markets right now. There's not a lot of interest right now, and I think that's just showing you that the funds are probably short. They're pushing down a little bit, and they're not being as successful as you might think, but they're keeping on just enough pressure to frustrate the heck out of everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the bulls are definitely getting frustrated. Chicago wheat December contract dropped 8 cents today to close at 509 even. The March was also off 8, finished the day at 513.75. The big story, Bubba, today, even though there wasn't much of a story, was in the cattle market. We saw a tremendous sell-off, really started the day with heavy selling. It accelerated, particularly in the feeder cattle markets, on, near as I can tell, no fresh news. Packers are still seeing widening margins on the live cattle side. We're continuing to see extra strong choice and select box beef values. There's all the reason in the world for this rally to continue. To me, it looks like today was a bit of a technical setback just on the overbought conditions that have sustained both these markets for the past 3 months. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think they're going higher, and I'm not at all surprised. I mean, obviously, you're always surprised when you get basically a limit down move. I think that's always something that's surprising that it came in that fast. And it could be considered even a potential key reversal day if you're a technical trader. However, I wrote last Thursday and I said I would expect to see GN feeders come down to about 142, 143, which is right where they are now. So both fats and feeders are right where I'd like to be a buyer again. So again, I'm not concerned yet. But of course, another ugly day would certainly make me a little bit more concerned.
Well, that's the thing. We did finish off of limit in the feeder cattle contracts. As we look at the live cattle prices, Deese was down $1.65 to close at $118.10. February contract dropped $1.47.50, finished the day at $124.10. And in feeder cattle, November, we're off $2.22.5, closed at $145.57.50. January, limit down for part of the day, bounced off of it at the close, closed lower $4.30 to finish at $142.82.50. Now, of all the slow news that we've had today, we actually had quite a few stories in the hog market, all of which should have been bullish, but they were not today. Rabobank issued a report saying that China's hog herd is down 50%. They anticipate it's going to take at least 5 years for them to get that hog herd back up to where it was prior to the African swine fever outbreak. Their concern, however, is that this price spike in pork in China is going to continue to push people out of that market and look at other alternative proteins, Bubba.
Well, again, I have said this all along. Hogs have been breaking down, and I think if you look at the formation going forward, they've got higher to go. But for right now, the near term, December, which is typically weak anyways, have broken down. And I think they probably have a little bit more room to go on the downside. Again, we've known about this news. This isn't fresh news, right? I mean, you know,
right,
again, I go
right
back to markets kind of knew what was going on. So I, to me, they got some more room to go on the downside.
All right, well, we'll have to see what happens. The December contract did close down $1.60 today, finished at $63.12.50. February was down a dollar even, closed the day at $74.55. Bubba.
Well, again, I think that, you know, this is what we're going to see. And again, right now, it just looked like the entire ag space was under some pressure today. And, you know, again, that's just the way life goes. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tomorrow. We got a new day tomorrow, right? We get to get up and start over again.
Absolutely. The sun will rise tomorrow.
Mike Pearson from Zahner Ag Hedge. Thanks, man. I appreciate the news. And
herbicides are obviously a big part of any weed management strategy, but they can also be very expensive. So growers want to know, how do you get the most control from those herbicides? Blake Miller, agronomy service representative for Syngenta from Illinois, he joins me right now. Blake, how would you answer that question? How do you
How do you get the most control from your herbicides?
Well, I think, Chip, it's really critical, especially when you think about overlapping residuals, that they're applied in a timely manner. And I think that the piece of the puzzle that's misunderstood is those herbicides need to be activated by rainfall, right? You need an activating rainfall to trigger those. And it's all about timing, right? So they have to be activated, and depending on how they work, so to speak, their site of action, it needs to be timed with when the weeds start to emerge.
Right. Right. You know, the overlapping of residuals, it's become a very important topic in my mind because we've seen the results. But explain, how exactly does it work? What does it look like?
Well, what it looks like when I think about resistance management, our resistance fighter initiative, Chip, is that you start with a pre-herbicide, mm-hmm. maybe of similar sites of action. Most likely for us, that's going to have S-metolachlor or dual mag and magnum in it. You're going to apply that at the highest rate you can apply it for your soil type within 14 days of planting, preferably at planting. But then when you think about that, I've made that application, mm-hmm. that herbicide's been activated. The minute it's activated, it starts its herbicidal activity, but also simultaneously, it starts to degrade. So it's critical in the overlap that's done more on the calendar, Chip, than yep. when an individual, you might see weeds in the field, for example. So we like to say once that first application is made of that pre, that overlap goes on 21 to 28 days after the pre is applied on the calendar, regardless of the weeds in the field. And the gain you get as a grower from that is that time of year, typically, at least in the Midwest, the likelihood of rainfall is higher, mm-hmm. and then I get that overlapping residual activated, and then I have that season-long performance from the total program.
Right, and you want to overlap your post with your pre. Number one, how do we do that? And you sure want to make sure that you're going full rate, right?
Absolutely, the highest rate for your soil type, and your retailer is going to know what that rate structure should be for your localized area, depending on the audience we have today. So that's critical that conversation is going on. And then your overlap needs to be on timely, and all that total program needs to contain the highest amount of effective sites of action effective on your target weed that you can apply to that acre, because that's how, one, we get performance, and two, we create durability for the sites of action that we have on the market today.
Excellent. Hey, everybody, Syngenta has a video for you at www.resistancefighter.com that will give you some more tips on how to maximize the residual length there. That was Blake Miller, Agronomy Service Representative with Syngenta, explaining how you can get the most from your herbicides. Always read and follow label instructions.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back. It is AgriTalk After the Bell. If you want to tweet at us, or if you want to call in, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. Give me a call. Let's talk. Let's see what's going on here. And in the meantime, it's Bubba here filling in for Chip today. And, you know, pretty solemn markets. But, you know, as I was talking with Mike, that we had some pretty good action in cattle. I mean, obviously not good if you own them, but it was certainly not totally unexpected. Again, I always think that the major down moves, you know, the limit moves are never expected, you know, except obviously there are certain circumstances, but, you know, I didn't expect, but I did expect a retracement back to about 142 in January feeders. So again, it's not a total shock. It's a shock how fast it got there. But as I was telling Mike, I wrote last week in my little newsletter that I expected to see a pullback because we've been trying to break out to the upside for a couple of weeks. And again, I think they still look really good. The only question was that actually what they call a key reversal pattern from a technical standpoint, which only means that it opened on its high and closed on its low, which is typically known as a key reversal, which is typically bearish to the market. However, in at least in equities for the last 10 years, it never worked. So again, it's just a pattern that some look at. But at the end of the day, I think feeders and fats both came down to some reasonable support levels. And certainly, I would call the feeder move today and the fats a blow off. Okay, which to me is just showing there was a little panic and a little puking going on there, and it's probably time to step back in. And I would certainly be looking, and I will be watching in the morning, you know, how they open, and if they once they start to reverse, if they do, now again, if they go down again, then we'll continue to watch. But if you continue to see them start to turn and start to turn back up, that would be an indication that they'd be going back up again. And I think that's, you know, one of the things we watch all the time. That's one of the patterns we like to trade in the short run. But this is a daily blow off, which is unusual. And I think that's something that we'll look for. And again, I don't think it's changed any of the base pattern yet. I still think that we've got, you know, room to go on the upside. And let's see. I think you have that resistance level that came into play, and we'll check it out from there. And of course, the grains, they continue to be in that malaise. You know, we talked about this yesterday with Andy, and again, it's, you know, I think they've got some more room to go on the downside. You know, again, I do, you know, I'm a big believer in the long run of the grain markets, but I think they do have some room to work their way lower. And again, we'll see how they trade out here. Again, there's no, the market, remember one thing, the market never announces its intentions and it never tells you what it's going to do next. The key is to be able to understand what you're seeing. And really, I think one of the big things is you need to stay away from trying to trade on news or information, okay? Because again, most of that news gets priced in before you've ever seen it. And if you're trying to jump in, okay, you're usually gonna be late. And as I like to write and say, you trade the news, you lose, okay? And you should be able to see a lot of the information just by looking at a chart. That'll give you more information than any news will give you, because you know, we can listen for the USDA, the Fed's evil twin sister, okay? And we can see what they're going to say. But again, most of the time, that news has already been built into the market. So for my money right now, it looks like we head a little bit south, okay? And again, I think at some point we will turn around. I think the hog market will at some point turn around. But for now, again, there's really no reason. The only way that you'd want to be a buyer now, if you, either A, you were bottom fishing, okay, or B, you felt that you saw a reasonable pattern to get in, okay, and you're willing to hold in for an extended period of time. So that to me, and I think there's, you know, one of the things you have to remember, I think there's always much better opportunities for you to get in. And one of the things we like to talk about all the time is that we mentioned a little bit yesterday was we like to always be hedged, because if I'm always hedged, I don't have to worry about these moves. And if I want to play the markets, you know, many of you like to fire in a little bit, you know, again, it's kind of the natural thing. You own it all already, but you want to buy more. And of course you fire in once in a while, but I think you'd be much better served by trying to identify, you know, kind of what the overall market looks like and what the market is telling you. Because again, you know, all markets, and this doesn't matter what market you're looking at, all markets leave a footprint, okay? Every chart that you look at leaves some information and gives you a better idea of what is going to happen next, okay? And that is the technical side of the market. But again, if you look at them, again, you don't have to be a pro, you don't have to be, you know, have a degree in charting, but if you watch, you can see, because I'm sure many of you have your own charts for the crops and for cattle and for feed and for everything you do. Okay. So you're looking at charts all the time that's telling you and directing you on what you should be doing next. Well, it's the same, you know, charts, investment charts or cattle charts or corn charts or equity charts, they're the same as the chart you're looking at. They're the same thing at what you're making a decision on every day in your with your marketing plan. You're looking for information, and that information tells you to do X. It's the same exact thing. If you start to realize that is the same exact thing as a stock chart, okay? An investing chart. When you're looking at the charts, you're looking for what we would call a valid footprint that gives you an idea of what the markets should see next. And again, it doesn't always work. But again, that's where you have to have some sort of a defensive strategy, knowing on where you're going to exit the market if indeed you turn out to be wrong. Okay. So that's, you know, one of the things you always look at is and that's where when I come on and I give you what I'm thinking, I'm watching, I'm looking at the market footprint. I don't read the news. I don't care. You know, again, they couldn't tell me anything, okay, that's going to change how I'm going to view what the actual information shows me. And I think that's an important tool. And again, it doesn't mean you have to be active, but if you just take a look once a day to kind of get a view of what the kind of footprint was, you'd have a much better handle on what your expectations would be, and you wouldn't be directed by, you know, outside noise or news that really will not help you at the time you're trying to do it. You know, again, it's just like these hogs with China, right? I mean, you know, hogs were, you know, way up there. You know, they were, you know, if you go back into July, they were over a buck, right? And now the geese, I think, got over 90. But that was a long time ago, okay? That we already knew about the swine flu. We already knew about all. We already had all this information. So you always ask yourself, well, why aren't they going higher? You know, corn, why isn't it higher? Well, because again, the markets are telling you that there's not enough support to push them higher. So by watching and looking at the technical side, okay, you can put yourself in that position to have a much better feel to what the market is going to do next. Again, it doesn't assure you that the next time will be right, but what it does tell you is that you're putting yourself in the best probability side of a market. You're giving yourself the best opportunity to be successful. So if you want to be, you know, more active in the markets other than just doing the farming and producing, okay, then at least give yourself the probability edge to the market and understand how to put yourself in the best position versus just laying it right in there. And I think that's always something that we have to worry about and find out as we go, because again, many of us get confused when it comes to investing versus trading. Okay. You know, trading is not investing and investing is not trading. You know, investing is you're holding something for a longer term. You found a reason to buy something. Okay. Versus trading, you're using shorter term indicators or technical aspects to decide what you want to do next. Okay. And that's how I trade. Now, again, you should always understand is you always want to get, no matter what you're buying, whether it be a stock, whether it be, you know, corn, cattle, soybeans, whatever, gold, you always want the market to be technically sound at the point you're buying. Because the fundamentals, it's good to have good, solid fundamentals, but the technicals will direct the market first, okay? The technicals will react first. So if you get too involved in what the fundamentals are when you're trying to trade them, okay, you're going to find out that more often than not, you're going to lose on those trades because the fundamentals don't always play out as they should. It's just like the relationship between the dollar and what's going on right now. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later today. But again, that's why we can't count on the fundamental side. We want strong fundamentals. It's something we're identified we want to buy, but then we need to have a good technical reason to go ahead and buy that, because that's where the markets are giving you the highest probability for a successful trade. And that's one thing that we work on constantly is how do we get that successful trade? It is simply by putting yourself in the best position to always have that trade on. This is AgriTalk After the Bell. And of course, we're going to step out of a break and we'll be back right after the break.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
It's Tech Talk with Dan Vaught, and he joined us on the show now. Dan, what's moving the markets today?
Hey, Bob, I'm looking at December hard red winter wheat futures today. The wheat market's been working generally lower this year, with the December HRW contract dropping from a June high around $5.25 per bushel to a Labor Day low at $3.81. The contract has since worked higher and reached a critical point last week. It tested the downward trend line drawn across three diminishing June highs and failed at that point, but it spiked above that level yesterday. That seemed to open the door to a big follow-through move, but it quickly reversed today and closed right on the confluence of the downtrend line and its 10 and 20-day moving averages. As a result, the door is still open to a sustained advance.
So you think that there's some more room to go higher from here, or what do you think?
I think so. You bet.
Okay. All right, great. Well, Dan, always great to have you, and always nice to talk to you. I don't get it off, but thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Commodity Classic is unlike any other experience in agriculture.
The things you see here, it's all the newest, latest, greatest. Somebody here is going to take care of you no matter what size farm you are. So I say a regional farm show is like a high school championship football game. It's very cool. Everybody's excited. This is a Super Bowl.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
And that's the Bubba disclaimer. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell. You want to call into us, please do so. And that's 1-855-4-TALK-AG or 855-482-5524. Give me a call. Give me someone to talk to. Anyways, so, you know, we had the impeachment hearing start today. And what does it really mean? Okay. I mean, wouldn't it be better for them to be working on USMCA? Wouldn't it be better to get that stuff done than worrying about impeachment? I mean, I think if you want to get rid of a president, you can vote him out in 10 months, right? But again, we're going to waste this time that we could have all these deals in place. And to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's certainly frustrating because there's so many things that can be done that have not been done. But of course, the economy is still soaring. You know, again, I think personally, we're in the very early stages of a recession. But again, that doesn't mean a lot today. And it only means a lot if there's a major collapse of a financial institution. Okay. You know, recessions are not the end of the world. Although the Fed likes to make them the end of the world and they try to manipulate around them with all their monetary policy. At the end of the day, the bottom line is the recessions can actually be functional. And what they do is they take out the weak hands, the ones that shouldn't be there, and they move along. And again, that's always something that we could look at because, of course, we had the Fed speak today. You know, Jerome Powell gave his speech, and of course, they're not going to hike interest rates. I mean, they're not going to lower interest rates, excuse me. And they're going to hold pat, which is, look, here's the simple method you can think about, okay? The Fed, okay, if they could lower rates as much as probably a full point, if they wanted to, based on interest rates around the globe. Because again, basically, they are borrowing, when they sell bonds, they are borrowing that money and they are guaranteeing it by the full faith and credit of the United States government. But again, if every other country is negative, if we gave a 0.5%, the people would flock in. So they could, and again, I don't think that they should. You've heard me many times before. I think that you're already seeing, and I'm sure you guys are starting to feel it now. The rates for us are going up. You know, if you watch the bond market, okay, when bond futures are going down, interest rates at the banking window are going higher, and of course, we never get a break at the banking window, especially under the circumstances we have to deal with today. So again, I think it's something to understand that although the Fed continues to talk lower rates, okay, the interest rates are actually going higher. Now that will create and potentially give everybody a little bit more liquidity because what's going to happen now, the reason banks were not providing a lot of liquidity in the past is the spread between what they borrow from and what they get lend at was not wide enough. Well, now that spread is starting to widen out. So if that spread widens to a point where they're comfortable and they're comfortable with their profit margin, then they will free up some liquidity to the market, which will make it possibly easier to borrow money. Of course, you'll be paying more dollars for it. That's always something, you know, to be aware of around you, because again, you know, there's all these lending institutions out there, and there's all these, you know, these peer-to-peer lenders that are lending money because they lend at ridiculously high rates. But we can get, you know, if we understand the function of the market, and then that takes us into, you know, the overly strong dollar. Now, you know, when you know, we heard President Trump call China the currency manipulator. Well, let's be honest, okay? Every country manipulates their currency. This is not something new, all right? Because, again, the Fed itself is trying to manipulate our currency right now to get it lower, to get it under control. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, it looked like the dollar was going to break down. Of course, nothing really rallied off of that, but it did look like the dollar was breaking down. And, of course, here it is, back making a run, most likely back to that par level. So as much as the Fed tries, they can't get it to break down. Now, again, why is that? Well, because the other central banks around the globe are doing the same thing, right? And their economies are so much weaker that the U.S. dollar attracts a lot of new money as a safe haven play as well. So, again, the dollar is considered, you know, it is the reserve currency, so it is considered a safe haven play. When you're worried about your money, you go into the U.S. dollar. Now you've got China, okay, who is yuan is starting to collapse again. And of course, that's basically manipulated by China, by the Chinese government, by the Chinese central banks, is they are manipulating that currency. Why? Because they want to be able to export to us, okay, and other nations, but they want to be able to export to us and not have to raise prices. So they're accounting for the tariffs on the inbound side from them. So Walmart and those guys don't have to pay more for the goods that they're getting in. Of course, Walmart will tell you we got to raise prices because of the tariffs. But again, the tariffs are hurting us more on the way out because, again, the added price plus the strength of the dollar makes it a much bigger deal to try to get stuff to export out. So basically, the only things we're exporting out is when it's really in demand and in need. And right now, there is no the grains and things like that and hogs are obviously not in great demand because we're not seeing them run for them. And again, it comes to a question you want to eat. So you've got all these things going on, but the manipulation of currency is going on since we got off the gold standard. That is the bad situation of getting off of something that actually benchmarks value. So now you have, again, you have central banks playing around with markets, trying to manipulate currencies. And of course, that's why you've seen, you know, a recent move in gold, which was higher. Now gold is getting crushed. But that's the reason you see some of these things is purely the dollar relationship. Now, remember, the dollar relationship does not always work at the same time, okay? You know, many times, and many people will say, hey, the dollar is too strong. Well, the market should start to go down, okay? And again, that is not necessarily correct. The markets, again, markets anticipate certain things and certain price points, so they kind of know. So just because the dollar is, let's say, up big today doesn't mean that grains and livestock are going to drop because of the stronger dollar or gold or anything. Because although commodities are benchmarked against the U.S. dollar, just because you have a rally in the dollar does not mean that there's a sell-off. And again, I urge you to go back and look and see where corn was, you know, when it was down at 330, you know, I mean, the dollar was 88 cents about a year ago, okay, or so, and corn was higher than it is today. So again, I mean, lower than it was today. So again, what I'm saying to you is that the relationship does not always play. So it's not an automatic, okay, that we have to have one go after the other. The same goes into, you know, we talk a lot about when corn is going lower, it typically will help feeders rally. Well, obviously we saw it. Corn's been going lower, and what happened to feeders? They went down the limit. So again, be very careful of the correlations that you know, because again, the correlations actually work at points, but the point is they don't always work, and they're not an automatic to the market. And that's, again, we're understanding how the actual market functions, because basically we talk about the free market, okay, and the way that the price discovery model, all right, that works however it works. And again, it works when buyers and sellers meet to exchange goods, okay, or exchange money for goods, they set a price. So again, that price is the price, no matter what the dollar is doing, no matter what anything else is doing, price is price. And price determines all market moves, okay? Again, you can look for other reasons. We can worry about the weather. We can worry about this and that. At the end of the day, it's always price that drives markets. Now again, there can be underlying factors that create that. But again, remember, you know, even if you go back to many of the July 4th holidays over time, we've often seen a big rally in the grain markets during that period. It's usually dry, it's usually hot. And of course, going into the weekend, there's usually a big rally. And of course, what happens? Well, they sell them off. But of course, the people that are starting to sell are the ones that were buying well before that, because they could see the price movement starting to go up. And I think that's what you have to look at, is when price starts to give you the action. And price will disclose itself in all markets if you're willing to look at it. And again, so that's when I'm looking at things, and when I give you my opinion, I'm looking at what price is. I'm looking at what the market is showing me, and that will help me. You know, as some of you may or may not know, but you know, I was short, you know, crude, and of course I thought it was going to the high 40s, and it did change and reverse. So we reversed out because the footprint of the market said it was time to reverse. And that's, you know, those are kind of things I write every day, and I put it in my newsletter in the week. And if you guys want to check out my daily update, just shoot me an email at bub@bubbatrading.com. I'll send you out. I do a video. I do about a four to five minute video every day. I cover all the markets. And then of course I do my Bubba's Ag report on Thursday night. So kind of give you a feel. But again, the news itself, I've never once, as I said yesterday, I've never once watched, listened, and made a trading decision or an investing decision based on the news of the market. Because at the end of the day, that does not drive markets. Price will always drive markets. And of course, we're seeing, you know, we can continue to see the equities dribble higher. Why? Because there's no sellers in play right now. So markets are predisposed to go up to begin with equities. So there's going to be buyers, because every morning IRAs and 401k programs come in and buy. All right. So that's going to continue. Okay. And we got a call or two when we come back from the break. That's great. Okay. So, you know, again, remember, the markets do what the markets do, and it's your job to follow them and understand the footprint that they're leaving. And if we do that, then we're always going to be, again, we're not always going to win, but we're always going to be in the highest position of probability to win, which is the best that we can do, is have probability on our side. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back with more of agriculture.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Commodity Classic is a great place to recharge your batteries, to reconnect with why you started farming in the first place, and why you can't imagine doing anything else. You'll be among thousands of farmers who share your thirst for knowledge and your passion for agriculture. Commodity Classic is a positive, uplifting, and inspiring environment, one that will keep you fired up when you head back home. See your future clearly, Thursday, February 27th through Saturday, February 29th in San Antonio. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year, so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell. It's the Chip Flory Show with Bubba in place. And, of course, give me a call, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. I'm lonely. Let's chat. Somebody give me a buzz. You know, again, I want to share some stuff and hang out and talk. You know, I'm like on a bad date. You won't call. I can't get the second call. Anyways, so, you know, somebody asked me a question yesterday and sent me, how do traders become fundamental versus technical traders? Well, you know, most, as we talked earlier, but most people are trained on fundamentals, okay? Whether you're taught on farming fundamentals or equity fundamentals, you know, you go to Iowa State, okay, they teach you fundamentals. They don't teach technical reading, okay? Everything is based on fundamentals, which again is fine for the long haul. But again, if you want to be more accurate, then you want to learn how to trade technically, because that is where the action comes in from. Okay. And we've got CR on the phone. All right, I bring in CR right now and I'll come back and finish his answer when I'm done with CR.
Mr. Horowitz.
What's up, CR?
Oh, not a lot, sir.
I tell you what, everybody that is in the agriculture or anything that has to do with selling or buying things needs to listen to you. It's like a tutorial. We need to get continuing education credits from listening to you.
You should. Actually, I'm going to do a webinar soon, too, because I love to teach it, too. So I've done it for 40 years. So this is like my niche, right?
It's a real learning experience. It really keeps me on my toes. I've got a quick question.
Sure.
These prices we're seeing today that everybody's bellyaching about, they're trying to blame it on the tariffs because what we're trying to do with China and they're retaliating against us. Would we have that much better prices if these tariffs weren't on? I think there's such a supply in the world that there's not that much demand. I mean, you know, there's more supply than demand right now.
CR, I agree with you. Okay, I think that we are very oversupplied. We have not had a weather interruption or any interruption in 5 years. So we've basically put together, and it's not only us, it's all of our competition throughout the globe. There has not been a major event. Would we be a little bit higher? Maybe. Okay. But again, if you've watched, no matter what the news is on the trade talks, the grains never really bombed higher. I mean, you had a little bit of a rally today, but as soon as it was bad, soybeans broke right down. So again, I think you're right. And again, I don't think that the trade wars are the issue today. I think the issue is because we had such good technology. We're so good at what we do. We produce so much more. And we just haven't had any event that disrupted that supply. So I'm in the same school you are, my friend.
Well, thank you for your time, sir. I tell you what, I'm going to get on Bubba Trading right here in a little bit, and I'm going to send you an email.
Send me an email, and I'll put you on my daily updates. You can see them. You can hear me rattle on and ramble on as well.
It's well worth my time. Thank you, sir. Have a good Thanksgiving.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. So we were talking about before, Sierra, we were talking about the difference. So every school teaches fundamentals, okay? That's what they teach. Now, again, I have a program that I put into high schools, okay? And it's, you know, they don't pay for it, I pay for it. And I put it in, right now I got about 600 high schools that use my program. You have no idea of the torture we have to go through to give away a free program that teaches young people about financial literacy, okay? You have no idea how tough a job that is when you want to give somebody a curriculum for free. Everything's online, okay? And they still give you an argument about it, but again, because nobody wants to understand outside the box. Now, again, if you just take a look, okay? And again, we're all involved in finance in some way. I mean, no matter what you're doing, you're using money, you're trading, whether it's grains or stocks. I mean, it's all the same at the end. I mean, wouldn't you say that we might need some help in some financial literacy at our younger age? I mean, can you imagine the debt that this country's in? Okay. Again, that is certainly not acceptable. I mean, we're stuck with it, but you got this debt bomb. You know, how are we going to ever get out of this? Okay. What are they going to do to get out? Are they going to forgive the debt? We know that's not the case, but these are fundamental reasons why they create a lot of debt, because they didn't, of course, they don't care. And they're not paying attention because they'd rather spend our money. But at the end, this is why you have to have a much better handle on everything that goes on, because you'll understand the world of finance better and have some financial literacy, which is, I think that's what our young people are missing. You know, I know, and when I went to school, you know, I had woodworking, I had auto shop. Okay. I think I even took baking once. Okay. But again, at the end, I had some skills if I didn't want to go to college or whatever. You know, they don't teach it anymore. Now everything is just teaching to a test. And so everything is box basic fundamentals. And again, that's just it doesn't work over the long haul. Okay. You got to be very careful with that. So I think, again, that's what we try to do. And that's why I try to educate people on more of the technical side, which is why I send out my daily update every day. And I send out like two texts a day. And I also send out my ag report on Thursday night. But again, you can reach me at bubba@bubbatrading.com if you have any questions. But The whole key here is that right now, everything looks kind of slow. We're in a very, very slow period of time, okay? And we're in a very complacent time. And somebody asked me yesterday, haven't grocers and retail buyers who are not protecting themselves grown their margin far enough that they don't need the protection? Well, you know, again, let me say this to you. You always need protection. You might think you don't need protection, which is really what creates major market meltdowns is when you think that you don't need protection, because typically what will happen is those markets will melt down faster because of all the complacency and the exit to the door, trying to get out. Everybody's selling, puking. You got a lot of forced liquidation. So again, this is why you want to make sure that you understand exactly where everything is and where you stand, because at the end, you don't want to be one of those panicking and puking. I can tell you for sure that these grocers and these guys that are not protecting themselves now because prices are low and because they're doing so well, they ain't doing so well. Okay, profits aren't great, and they're going to have a big problem once you see. And again, we all know at some point the markets are going to get crippled, and at some point they're going to make brand new highs, right? We know they're going to do both sides of the equation. So just remember, don't try to predict the markets. Let the market give you the footprint, let the market show you the way. It's just like a map, okay? So learn how to read the map and let it show you the way that gives you the best way, okay? Because that's what always happens, okay? And I guess tomorrow, John Harris is filling in for Chip, and I know that I'm about out of time. I want to thank everybody. I appreciate you guys, and thanks for calling in. Thanks for the emails. Always great to be a part of AgriTalk After the Bell.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp, then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad.
Thanks to Tavium Herbicide from Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. With Tavium, time's up for tough weeds. Visit www.syngentaus.com/Tavium to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.